Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the best-selling author Karen Slaughter. She is out with her 20th novel, and it's the newest in the Will Trent series. It's called The Silent Wife. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Karen, this book, I've read your books for years, and I always think, you know, you could write anything, but you always choose to go back to crime. What is it about crime for you that makes it such a well that you always tap, even though you have the ability to write about literally anything you want?
I love crime novels, not crime in general, but I grew up reading them, and, you know, I've always been fascinated by it. My step-aunt, when I was a kid, was the chief of detectives in the town next to us, so I saw through her eyes what it was like to be a police officer in a small town, and, you know, I was very aware from a young age that bad things can happen and that good people had to step in and make those things right. And there's no better paradigm to use when you're writing a novel than, you know, a crime. Something bad happens. You got to figure out who did it. You got to stop the person from doing it again. And that's really what propels my latest book, The Silent Wife, is they've got to catch this guy before he hurts more people.
Well, this book, you know, Will Trent comes in, Georgia Bureau of Investigation cop, and comes in to investigate an attack outside a prison and realizes that a police officer may have made a mistake because a prisoner told him that, he says, hey, I recognize this pattern, and, you know, I'm innocent, and you hear that a lot, but when you have a police officer who comes in and he's told by a prisoner, I'm innocent, how do you get past the natural prejudice that somebody has to say, well, everybody in prison is innocent? That's the old joke out of Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, exactly. No one says, hey, you got me. I deserve to be here. That's part of the story, is how do they get past that? And everyone is very skeptical, but they're good cops. They got to look into this, and things start adding up, and, you know, they have to investigate this old case to figure it out. And, you know, the really big thing is they realize that even if this one fella is actually guilty of those previous crimes, more of these same crimes have been happening since that guy was put in prison. So either there's a copycat, or there's someone working with him, or perhaps he is innocent of these crimes, but they've got to stop them from happening.
Even though we hear about violent crime a lot in the media when it's, you know, in nonfiction settings, a lot of us are never going to be victims of crime. And so how do you take the realism of somebody who is involved either as a direct victim or an indirect victim and make it relatable for an audience that's never going to experience a lot of these things in their life?
Well, I think one thing that we universally experience is a fear of crime. You know, even being close to a community or a neighbor or someone who has something bad happen, that affects you in a very fundamental way. You know, if someone has a on your street, for instance, has a burglar break in, it changes how you look at the world. It takes away some of your comfort. And I think that's what we like reading in crime novels. You know, we're close by, but it's not actually happening to us. And especially now, given the pandemic we're living in, I love reading crime novels even more because I know at the end somebody's going to be punished and the good guys are going to live on to fight another day. I mean, that's the kind of resolution that doesn't feel like we're going to get anytime soon in our real lives. So that's why I love reading crime, and I think that's why a lot of people are drawn to it right now.
Well, you grew up outside Atlanta in an era when there was the child murders were going on. So how did those affect you as far as your psyche goes in dealing with crime as an indirect victim, as a citizen?
You know, you're exactly right. It did affect me. I was a kid when these crimes were happening, the Atlanta child murders. And even though I was, you know, the complete opposite of the profile, it was mostly young African-American boys, and I lived about 40 minutes away, it was a very scary time, and it did change our community. It changed how we looked at strangers, how we looked at each other. And that's something that I like to write about, is what is this doing to the community? How is this stain against society going to be indelible for a lot of us? And also, you know, I think it's very important to talk about crime in a larger context. You know, what are we doing as a society that creates an atmosphere where these types of criminals can go unpunished for so long?
I know that you research meticulously for these books, and you have a lot of people on your friends list or contacts list, either doctors, MDs, or police officers. Who makes better resources for anecdotal stuff about cops, current people who are employed in law enforcement are retired cops with, you know, no loyalty to a particular department.
Oh, yeah. Hands down, retired cops. I mean, they're not worried about anything. And most of the retired cops I talk to are women, so they are super honest about what's going on in the world. But, you know, the thing is, you can have all types of resources, but you've got to have somebody who understands that you're just telling a story. You know, you want to get the flavor and the essence of what it's like to be a police officer. But, I mean, being honest, if Will Trent, if I wrote an average day for him as a cop, 50% of it would be filling out paperwork, another 40% would be meetings, and 10% would probably be sitting outside somebody's house waiting for him to come home. So I've got to make his life a little more interesting than it is for police officers, where it's about 10 minutes of adrenaline every day. And that's a real challenge, to find someone who understands storytelling. But I'll tell you what, cops are the best storytellers. And even if they're not telling the truth, they can certainly spin a good yarn.
I'm chatting with Karen Slaughter about her new novel, The Silent Wife. It is available now wherever your fine books are sold. I know this book has been compared in other places to somewhat of the Meredith Emerson story from, you know, 10 or 12 years ago down outside in the Appalachian Mountains. And one of the things you mentioned in the back of the book is a law that came out of that about these looky-loo laws. And can you kind of explain why that is so important to you?
Well, so basically this law, it came about in the state of Georgia because Meredith Emerson was brutally murdered by a serial killer, and the press were seeking to get access to the autopsy photos. And, you know, that to me is just beyond the pale, because she was a real person. She was so much loved by her family and friends, and that's not something that the press needs. You know, they have autopsy reports. They have all the information from the case. I mean, you can call the GBI right now and you can get the transcripts from the perpetrator's interviews. I'm not going to say his name. It doesn't bear repeating. But photographs are very different, and there should be some privacy for victims. And while I absolutely believe in freedom of the press, and I have great respect for the press, I think they're doing a really hard job right now, and they're getting a lot of pushback. Photographs are not necessary, so I support that law being passed. I think it should be passed everywhere. There's no need to see photographs of someone on what could be the worst or last day of their lives.
Do you get viscerally the public's sensation for wanting to see as much as they can about a murder that they're not directly involved in?
You know, I do understand it. You know, at some very base level, there's that same tendency to slow down and look at a car accident and think, well, thank God that's not me. And I understand. I'm interested in these crimes. True crime, I have read Anne Rule from the beginning. Truman Capote. I mean, there's some great true crime novels out there. And I totally support the interest in that. I think also it's important for us to know that there are people out there doing this sort of thing. You know, if you're interested in it, you should be able to have access to information. And I'm definitely one of those people. I love writing about crime. I love exploring why people think they have that right to break the social contract. And as you know, one of the things that I do is I often will let victims survive, because I want to talk about the impact of crime. And letting a victim survive, that's the messy part. That's where it gets into the psychology of abuse and of trauma, and trying to show my readers, okay, these are real crimes happening to real people, and this is the fallout from them.
As you strive for accuracy in your novels, I know we're getting the end of the novels written pre-coronavirus, and now you almost have to get dystopian in trying to figure out where all this is going just to make them accurate for a book that's going to be published a year from now, right?
Oh, yeah, and that's something all of my friends who are writers are struggling with. I was just talking to Veronica Roth, who wrote the Divergent series, and I said, how did you know that we would all be in this position? And it's true, I do have to kind of project what the future might look like, and it's kind of hard at this point. You know, I, as an American who believes in the American spirit, I don't understand why we don't all have a test at home we can spit on every day, and it tells us whether we can go out or not. So I'm just having to imagine what our lives are going to look like when the book I'm working on right now comes out next year.
All right. This book is called The Silent Wife. It's the 20th novel from Karen Slaughter. It's a Will Trent novel. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Karen, congratulations on novel number 20, and best of luck in the future.
Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
Silence is golden.